5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Earth below us, drifting, falling, flow.
Welcome to AnnaZone 23, where we look at old anime, especially movies and OVAs. These are the films and projects that help shape the anime landscape as we know it today. We want to look at them in their own era and how they were the inspiration for many of the shows and franchises that are popular today. Some have become legends, while others have been deservedly forgotten. All of them, you should remind yourself, someone had to draw that.
Thanks, Major Tom.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of AnnaZone 23. Once again, I am your host, Rick.
I'm Drew.
And today we are going to be following up on one of our earliest episodes. That's right, we are going back to the world of Rumiko Takahashi. So we have previously covered her Rumic World stories, and if you remember all the way back at the beginning of the podcast, we covered her very popular series from the early 80s of Yurusei Yatsura. Now, Yurusei Yatsura is one of those series that has become kind of a cornerstone of anime and manga, both in terms of the product itself and then also within the culture. I remember, Drew, you told me a really good story about the you used to work vendors booths at conventions. Yeah. And the
this story has come up before in the podcast, folks, but we're going to tell it again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But short form, Shonen Sunday is a fairly recent, well, not recent, but has a shorter history than certain other famous weekly magazines. Shonen Sunday is only about 40 years old. 30. And their 30th or thereabouts anniversary was coming up. And so they decided to go back to one of their very earliest hits and one of their current hits and issue a double set of figures. And so they brought out a paired figure set of two of their Lynchstone characters wearing festival masks, which is a very common thing for figures. You'll have somebody in a yukata that's a cotton kimono trying on a variety of cheesy Halloween masks because you're at the summer festival. You've seen it. It's a tale as old as time. Every manga, every anime that lasts more than 50 episodes definitely has a summer festival episode. Well, the flavor of the month at Shonen Sunday at the time was Negima. So they used Asuna. That's Negima's Asuna, who's the redhead, short-haired girl who uses the Harisan paper fan. Not Asuna, the red-haired girl with the rapier that's in Sword Art Online. Very important to tell the two apart, even though they're kind of the same character.
Yeah.
The other character was Lum from Aritsu Yatsura. And these were, as most box sets like this came out, you would get a box, and you would get like 10 of each per box. And the group I worked for on occasion when I had weekends free and I needed some money, generally, we would go to a con and we would bring, you know, some of both and see how they sold. And I made a comment when I went in and saw that there and immediately bought the Lum one that you must have a whole lot of the Lums left over because at that point, Negima was really the hot thing. And he looked at me and he said, "Oh no. We sell a lot more Aritsu Yatsura ones than we do Negima ones." I'm like, "Really? Negima's pretty hot." And he's like, "Yes. But the people who remember Aritsu Yatsura have money." So
yeah, even today, Yurusei Yatsura has a real hold. And but by, you know, the mid 80s, Yurusei Yatsura had wound down. You know, it still had some movies coming out, but it was not the active production. Takahashi had moved on to her, as you put it, her magnum opus series, which was Meizan
and Ikkoku. Meizan and Aritsu Yatsura actually ran concurrently. Yes.
Did they?
Meizan pretty much ran during the second half of Aritsu Yatsura. That's partly why she's considered such a genius and psychotic, because she managed to keep two top-selling stories going at the same time.
My apologies. It was the anime series that had that fired up.
Yeah, the effective split of the two. I don't think the animated series are overlapped at all, but the manga series did. You can kind of tell the art styles just by comparing the art styles that there is a definite overlap. There may have been a year or two that was only Maison, but it was only a year or two, and Maison lasted considerably longer than that because it was a force.
Maison's television run started like the week after Yurusei Yatsura's ended.
And ran for 4 years more. Precisely 4 years.
Because they are both on FNS, so I think it was one of those cases where, hey, this series over.
Yeah, and this becomes the new series. But the manga continued for quite a bit longer because movie number 5 is actually the last story arc from the manga.
Yeah, because both Maison Ikkoku and Yurusei Yatsura end in 87.
So she wound them up together, but
round them up together, and so she then moves on to her new project, which is what we're here to talk about today. And that project is Ranma ½. And Ranma ½ is far closer to Yurusei Yatsura than it is to Maison Ikkoku. And
Let me explain my reason to that. Even closer to Dragon Ball Z than it is to Yurusei Yatsura, or at least Dragon
Ball. I would say Dragon Ball, not Dragon Ball Z. For those of you who have only seen Dragon Ball Z, the original Dragon Ball was kind of dirty, dirty joke, not like, yeah, naughty. Yeah. It was cheeky to use
it
a term.
It was very Benny Hill.
Yeah, you know, very Benny Hill, or you know. That kind of comedy was a lot more almost juvenile humor.
Almost.
Not kiddie, but like, you know, sophomoric. Mm-hmm. Would be another good way to put it. Ranma could almost be considered like a cleaner version of that because it is a martial arts comedy.
Yes. And Takahashi has specifically said that she was kind of doing it as a, you know, that was the flavor. That was what the flavor was at the time, was kung fu stuff. So
she seems to do that. That seems to be a thing that she does, because her most recent series, not her most recent series, but one of her more recent series, which started running in 2009, as we put it, is its basic, which is Rene. That's just basically her take on Bleach. Mm-hmm. So we may or may not talk about that series way down the road.
It's an interesting question. But the thing was, yeah, this was her basically her second and a half series. Because Maison is not a shonen series. It's a seinen series.
It is a seinen. Maison Ikkoku, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, is a seinen slice of life about an apartment building. And the inhabitants
and
within.
And a love story.
And a love story.
It's a love story. It's a love story with more symbolism than an Italian film festival.
Yeah, it's a young adult series in the actual, like, literal meaning of young adult, because our main characters are in their, like, 20s, as opposed to, you know, what we call young adult, and we mean teenagers. As we said, seinen. And it's very... It is a comedy, but it's probably her most down-to-earth one.
Easily her most down-to-earth long-form story. She's done a few...
Nothing super crazy happens in
it. Nothing terribly ridiculous. Some minor league supernatural, possibly supernatural occurrences, but nothing major.
But like stuff that you might see in any kind of slice of life sort of tale. You know, just general sort of Japanese superstition kind of stuff. Yeah, but with Ranma ½, we're like I said, we're much closer back to the style of Yurusei Yatsura. It is a screwball, but instead of being a space comedy, because in the early 70s, early 80s, space was all the rage. It's now martial arts, because as pointed out, Dragon Ball, as we talked about really in our Shonen Jump episode, Dragon Ball, Fist of the North Star. Berserk, you know, all that stuff was getting started and becoming, you know, starting to get big. So she does a martial arts series. And it, just like Yurusei Yatsura, it has a large cast. And the manga and the anime start off actually with, we don't get introduced to our main character. Well, we get introduced to one of our main characters, but not the title character.
Well,
we get introduced to the Tendo household to start off our story.
Or the Tendo Dojo to be.
Yeah. Tendo Jojo is the more accurate.
It's an old style Japanese house in the middle of somewhere in the far suburbs of Tokyo that has an attached dojo, which is the also the means of support for the house. And the father is...
Yes, that is their primary income.
Somehow the father is a kung fu master, or a general purpose martial arts master, even though seeing Son, I cannot believe that he was ever much of a martial artist.
I can't think of a single, like, so we'll introduce the family. So, yes, the patriarch of the family is Sun Tendo, voiced by, in the Japanese, Ryosuke Obayashi and David Kay in the original English dub, and then also Russell Waite in the Asia dub.
And he's a very highly strung martial arts master.
With a wonderful, wonderful mustache.
And he's a widower, so he's also having to raise three daughters on his own, which will make you insane anyway.
Three daughters that are not far apart in age. The oldest is Kasumi, who is 19.
Sorry.
is Kasumi, age 19. Nabiki, who's age 17. And the youngest, Akane, who is age 16. So he's got three daughters that were within 3 years of each other. And he receives, and each of them have their own, they're very different personalities from each other. Nabiki is sort of, she is the,
cold, ruthless capitalist.
Yes. She's the cold, ruthless capitalist as the middle. You know, she's a completely amoral businesswoman. As her character description,
have you ever
reads.
Read the Tom Fitzgerald Great Brain books? This is Tom's ideal mate. Just moved to Japan and shifted forward 90 years.
We have Kasumi, who is essentially, she's the homemaker. She's
the surrogate mother.
She's basically, she's the surrogate mother. The
mother replacement. Daughter.
Basically. And then really who's the main character out of the Tendo family is Akane. She is the youngest. So she has, her own complexes is what we'll put them. And we'll talk about more of them as we go through some of the other characters. Too. Yeah. She's a bit of a tomboy.
She doesn't get along well with boys.
Yeah. She's a talented martial artist. We'll talk about her capabilities in a little bit as we talk about some of their characters, a terrible cook, actually terrible, basically anything homemaker wise.
Yes. She will canonically, she had to go through massive training to learn how to boil water successfully.
Yes, apparently she is there. It's the joke that she can set water on fire.
That's a slight exaggeration, but only a slight one.
So yeah, martial arts is the thing. That's what she's good at, but she does have, you know, she does want to I would say within the family, her biggest complex is essentially trying to live up to the standard set by her eldest sister, Kasumi.
Yes.
So we get introduced to the Tendo family, and soon he receives a letter, and he informs his daughters that his old friend, I got to get this right, because when we tried recording this the first time, I called him Gendo, and no, it's Genma. But the two are about the great
similarities
of father
in names
of the year, to be quite
very
honest.
Appropriate in some ways.
Ganma Saotomi and his son Ranma are coming to Japan and returning to Japan. That's correct, because they were both they're both originally from Japan. They've been training in China, and a long time ago, Genma and Sun had made had arranged a marriage. They didn't arrange which daughter was going to be married at the
time.
They
didn't have kids at the time. They were just apprentices.
Because they didn't have
kids. They
just
said, at some point, two of our children will marry and to carry on their tradition of our martial art together. Yes. Of course, they didn't ask the kids because the kids weren't even made, let alone born.
Yeah.
At the time that they made this promise. This is very typical of these two gentlemen.
Yes, it's there's a lot of, throughout the run of the manga, there's a lot of, wait, you guys did, like, both of them, kind of, more so Genma actually, than Soon. Genma's more famous
for it.
Genma's really bad at it. Genma makes a lot of promises that his progeny let's just say, his social life, yeah, a lot of checks he can't cash, or anyone can cash, for that matter. And then, so after this revelation, we cut to a girl with a Chinese braid getting chased by a panda through the streets of Tokyo. The panda manages to catch the girl and knock her out and throw her over his shoulder. We then cut back to the Tendo household.
By the way.
In the rain, and the panda has gotten into the house, and everyone's running from the panda.
And then the panda knocks the girl awake, picks up the girl. Sets her down in front
and
of
the girl's introduced to us as,
and she's like, oh, hello, my name,
I'm Ranma. Sorry about this.
Please excuse me.
So they're like, they're even like, well, what they're,
well, at first they're like, wait, they're a like, minute, oh, this, there's something.
This of course breaks Soon. Cause he's like,
yes. And the girls are basically
traditional Japanese private father.
Snafu. Ah, something new has been added. Would you,
well, they're kind of all relieved, to be quite honest.
Yes, they're also like, noting the fact that there's a definite feminine vibe coming from this person.
Yeah.
And then,
and so
Akane says, well, she's still a guest, so come on, we'll get you cleaned up.
Let's go sparring.
Well, let's get you cleaned up. But she diverges through the dojo and asks for a spar match first.
Yeah. Which Ranma very easily defeats her with a poke to the back of the head.
Jumps over, pokes her in the back of the head. It's not even much of a contest. And it's like, and she's like, dang, you're good. And dang, this would be embarrassing if you weren't a girl.
Cue foreshadowing. Yeah.
This is called foreshadowing.
So within the next few pages, you know, Connie's cleaning up. She goes into the bath, and there's a young man with a Chinese braid standing in the bath. She naturally freaks out.
Yep.
This is where we get the manga. This is where we get the manga's one running joke. The joke of Ranma One Half is that, because we have also at this point been revealed that the panda is Genma.
Yeah.
And Ranma is, well, the girl that was from earlier. The joke of this series is that characters turn into things when they get doused with cold water.
And return when they get doused with hot water.
Yes, and that is the joke. It's the one joke that runs throughout the entire manga.
Because of the cursed spring in China that they ran into.
Yes.
And it must be on the...
if there's one thing that Takahashi's good at...
It must be on the official tourist path, because we run into dozens of characters who have been to this set of cursed springs, and whatever spring you fall into, you turn into whatever drowned in that spring.
Yes, and if it's a case of where they haven't, if they haven't been to that spring when we first meet them, they will soon fall into the spring.
Just about every major character, at least of the younger group, has been to that spring at some time or another.
I think there's only a couple of exceptions, and they're the ones that are more, those are ones, they're lower on the totem pole in terms of the power. Yes, Ranma has power levels, believe it or not. It's just not out in the open like Dragon Ball is. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, this sets up our series, basically. This
point,
is going to be
girls,
our running
Tendo girls,
chemistry.
The two older ones are like, well, Akane hates boys, and Ranma's only half a boy, so she should get married to him. And they both promptly push her forward to take two steps back.
Yes,
figuratively,
basically.
If not literally. And Ranma and Akane is angry, disgusted.
Ranma is confused.
Ranma is slightly confused at this point, but
all is made clear when they go to school.
No, first Ranma gets doused yet again to prove
that's right.
That he's,
no, he gets thrown out into the he gets thrown out into the koi pond.
The koi pond a lot, and then Ranma is back and he looks at Akane. He's like, "And you, by the way, I've been a girl, so it doesn't bother me to look at girls."
Yeah, I've seen myself naked plenty of times.
And
he naturally gets pummeled for it.
I have a bigger bust than you do. At which point, Akane drops the table on him.
Yes.
And then we get introduced to school. And we discover why Akane doesn't like boys.
Yeah, when she arrives at school, she has to fight off every single boy in the school. Because one jackass basically said, in order to anyone who's going to go out with Akane has to defeat her.
Yes.
It's not even her decision.
Somebody made her Red Sonja, and we all know how cranky Red Sonja is.
And the person who was responsible for that is Tatakwaki Kuno, or as Nobiki calls him, Kuno Baby.
Kuno-chan. It's Kuno-chan and let me tell you, if somebody who is at your grade level and is not your girlfriend calls you Chan, it's kind of the Japanese equivalent of saying bless your heart. No, I'm serious. There's another famous Japanese work. I'm sorry, I'm showing off my degree here, called the Makioka Sisters. Famous Japanese slice of life story from right around World War II, written by Junichiro Tanizaki. Mm-hmm. There is a character in there and it's basically a story of a bunch of sisters who are, and the problem they're having it's kind of Pride and Prejudice. It's getting them all married off, but the problem is the oldest girl is being picky. Because it's the only power she has. And so some of the other characters, all sorts of other things. But there is a character there that they call K-Boy in the original English translation. And I read that, I was like, oh, K-chan. And he is the most useless, you know, the useless wimpy boy with a trust fund? That's K-Boy.
Yeah.
So he was K-chan.
Okay.
So when I hear Kuno Baby, I'm thinking immediately of this. And they call him K-chan with about the same level of condensation that Nobiki refers to Kuno as Kuno Baby. Like, and bless his heart, he doesn't have the sense to come out of the damn rain.
And I'll say this. Takahashi is nothing if not consistent. Because we've seen the character of Kuno essentially before, with a slightly different looking character design and some tweaks.
Here's the thing. Kuno is a major tweak because if you get Mendo, who's the original version, and Shun Mitaka, the one in Maison, who's the modern version, they're both rich playboys. They're both scions of rather rich families. One's a rich playboy tennis coach. One is a wannabe samurai dude. And they're both played by the same dude. This Kuno is played by an entirely different guy because at this point, the guy who did those first two is busy doing City Hunter. But that's neither here nor there. But Kuno is like the same character dialed up and with his entire brain surgically ripped out and thrown in the trash. Kuno doesn't have the sense to come out of the rain. Kuno is dumb.
Kuno's Mendo, if idiot.
Kuno is, yeah.
Essentially.
Kuno is Mendo without the sense to come out of the rain. Kuno is determined to date Akane. And Akane,
you don't,
is, Akane you, has you kicked know his who butt Kuno, several who, times.
He also has a large ego, nicknaming himself the Blue Thunder of Furikan High.
Yes.
And it makes me, this just hit me. He's Hercule or Mr. Satan. Yeah,
essentially.
He's Mr. Satan, basically.
Essentially Mr. Satan. He fulfills the same reason.
Can you think of any fight that he actually is good at, or actually he does well in?
Mm.
He gets beat by everybody.
Yeah. Kuno is the Worf effect, but there's never an implication that like Worf is supposed to be a great warrior who gets his ass kicked. We know Kuno is crap. Because Akane can beat the shit out of him.
And we already know that Ranma...
When his passion is aroused, he gives Ranma a pretty good fight the first time. After which, Ranma can pretty much knock Kuno into the sky in 10 seconds flat. Now, the problem is, one of the times when Ranma is beating the snot out of Kuno in these early episodes, it rains. Or he gets water dumped on him some other way. I think it rains.
I think it was... No, the first time it happens, if I remember correctly, it's... There's that running gag of the old lady throwing water
Water out the window.
Doing the water with the ladle.
Ah, yes. Oh,
on the porch.
Knocking
as
down
as they're late to school, so Akane's dragging him to school.
And so, at this point, Kuno is determined that he is in love with two women, which is probably one and a half more women than he could possibly deal with. And he can't decide between Akane and the pigtailed girl. And then Nabiki starts selling him pictures of both of them and tries to explain in very small words that Ranma and the pigtail girl are the same person. Except she does a little more poetic than that. And Kuno is convinced that Ranma, boy, is holding Ranma, girl, hostage. And cannot be convinced.
You know, despite the fact that he sees the pigtail girl many times without boy Ranma present.
Did we say the guy is dumb? He is dumb.
He is reactor grade concrete thick.
He is thick, thick, thick. And of course we get such things as Ranma is getting roses. Ranma boy gets roses from Kuno for the pigtailed girl. And he starts getting some interesting dreams that challenge his sexuality in ways he's not really prepared to deal with because he's been raised by the world's most macho martial artist stage dad.
Actually, interesting that you bring up roses at that point because
we haven't gotten to
chapters on. We get introduced.
We haven't gotten to the second character. I wanted to diverge first into Genma because.
That works for Genma me because I think this is a good point where we can kind of bring stuff up about Genma.
The not yet created Genma Ikari, Gendo Ikari award for terrible parenting.
You mean Father of the Year award, right?
I mean, well, the thing is,
in giant quotation
marks. The thing is that Ranma has a bit of testosterone poisoning in his personality, and it's there, but. As soon as Genma opens his mouth, you know exactly where he got it from. He took Ranma away from his mother, and they went training when he was about 8 years old, and he swore that he would make him a man among men, or they would both commit seppuku. This is just the sort of ridiculous thing. And of course, he has, technically, Ranma is a fighter par excellence. He just happens to turn into a girl if he gets wet. So they're both terrified that his mother will show up someday, and she does.
She's way late in the manga, but to be honest, she does not help the whole testosterone poisoning
thing. No, because she's, bought into the whole thing too.
Yeah, she's bought into the thing, so she literally carries a sword around with her because so this is where the Father of the Year thing comes in. So some of the things that Genma does, he promises his son in or his unborn or his non-existent child to his best friend who is best friend's children in marriage. He promises his young son in marriage to the owner of basically a Japanese or a sushi pizza cart,
Okiyomiyaki,
as dowry because he can't pay for it or he's just a complete
cheapskate. No, he's the king of Dining Dash.
Yeah, he is. And then to his own wife, he goes, I will make him a Mangamon's men. A doting mother will ruin that. She buys into it to the point that she carries a sword because he promised that him and Rama would commit seppuku if he failed to make him a man amongst yes. men.
And she will be his assistant and knock his head off before he cries out. And, you know, because you yes, can't be a man the, amongst men while committing seppuku if you cry out like a little girl because you're stabbing yourself with a dagger.
Genma is terrible.
Genma is a terrible father, but he's a hilariously terrible father. He's not like Gendo. Gendo, you want to punch. Genma, you just want to shake. He's a terrible father, and his training methods are even worse.
Yeah, let's see. So, the whole plot of the manga starts off because of one of his terrible training ideas, which is, we're going to do the train on top of bamboo over these incredibly cursed pools.
No, he doesn't know they're cursed because he can't read Chinese.
Well, yes, he can't read Chinese. Still, training on bamboo over pools is just generally a bad idea.
It's a very kung fu movie sort of thing, you have to admit.
It is.
It's an extremely kung fu movie sort of thing. But, yeah, it goes on. And so, you know, Rama's having nightmares, but he manages to beat Kuno. And then because mm-hmm. the Kuno bit was so much fun, we get to meet Kuno's sister who goes to the school down the road. And
I'm trying to think of the best way to describe Kuno's sister.
His twisted sister.
Well, she's a Hime.
Yeah.
She's a Hime type.
She has a song in the Ranma One Half vocal album that is pretty much nothing but her laughing. Called Let's Go to the Forest. There's a few lyrics in there, but it's 90% of her doing her evil laugh.
Actually, to use some wrestling analogy, I can think of it. Kuno's an idiot. He generally, in terms
Kuno's
of
a jobber,
his
wrestling goes.
He's a jobber. He's a babyface jobber is what he is. He gets his ass beat, but he is, you know, he generally does things honorably, you know, fair fights, things like that,
yeah.
you know, in mm-hmm. his fights. His sister is a main event heel. Yeah, that she will use any advantage she can think of. Because the way we get introduced to his sister is the Furikan High Martial Arts Rhythm Gymnastics Team. Because everything is martial arts in this
yes,
manga.
Everything. Tea ceremony.
Are getting taken out one by one.
Yes.
So they go to Akane and they're like, we need you to help because you're tough. You can do this. And of course the running gag with Akane, unfortunately, is while she's a competent fighter, she's also a klutz.
Yes.
And she sprains her ankle. So Ranma has to fight because it turns out that
it has martial arts
Tendo's
in the name.
Sister.
If it has martial arts in the name,
yes.
Ranma can be good at it. He will die trying to prove that he's good at it. Or she, whatever. You know what I mean.
And at that point is when we get the revelation that that Kodachi Kuno, or the Black Rose,
or to use Tatewate's nickname for him, my twisted sister, which is a fairly loose but accurate description of what he calls her in Japanese.
Hang on a second, Drew. Do you need something, honey?
I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she's a klutz who hurts her leg.
No, she is. Yeah, she.
I used to have that manga. I could have sworn.
She trips on a rhythm and gymnastics ball.
Yeah.
Then she's sitting in her bed pouting. All right. I'm just going to make a note of that. That's about 33 minutes in on the recording.
You just have to clip it together.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be easy enough to do.
Okay, give it a clap and let's go.
Bang. Yeah, so we get introduced to her. And what's some of the tactics that she uses? So she has rig weapons that like explode, have poison gas.
She grabs things.
My favorite one:
spectators and uses them as weapons. Up to including somebody we'll mention later. She has her team underneath the ring, moving it.
That's my favorite one, because all of a sudden the whole ring just moves. And Ron, or because we should bring up that, you know, it's Girl Ranma that's doing this, by the way, because
Male Ranma would never be caught dead in a leotard doing rhythmic gymnastics. That wouldn't be manly.
Spoiler alert, that happens. We don't see it, but it happens. Because somebody grabs a steaming hot kettle.
Yes, one of the whips goes with the ribbons, grabs a steaming hot kettle. And anyway, through desperate fighting and careful trickery, Ranma manages to win. And then he's sitting by the koi pond and feeling in male form, and he's wondering what the heck is going on here. And Kodachi arrives at the Tendo household. No, Kuno arrives at the household and throws him a bunch of red roses for the pigtailed girl, which flummoxes him so much he falls in the koi pond. And then he gets out in female form, holding the roses from Kuno in one hand, and Kodachi shows up and throws him a set of black roses for boy-type Ranma. And Ranma is sitting there with two handfuls of roses, wondering what he has possibly done to deserve this. And contemplating.
And by the way, these are not the first extra suitors that Ranma has picked up at this point.
No, but these are two of the recurring ones. They're just not used too often, because power-wise, they get power creep to the bottom pretty quick.
Yes, because we get introduced to what's probably my favorite group, even though at least in the original dub, it's a little cringy, the accents. And that is our group of Chinese Amazons.
Chinese Amazon martial artists, not on the moon.
Yes. Yeah, not on the moon. Which is, if you actually go to the Wikipedia, they're listed before the Kunos, but I think the Kunos are more important to go into first.
Well, they don't.
But they are all, they're all bath item puns, every single one of them. Are like shampoo, cologne, and mousse. Those are our three main Chinese Amazon characters. The main one being shampoo,
who is sort of like, what if Lum was a Chinese kung fu heroine?
Pretty much.
She fulfills some of the Lum roles. And she has a similar hairstyle. She's not done by the same voice actress. But
It's like take Lum and replace her her horns with Odongo.
Yes. Pretty much.
But
basically,
and she, of course, she's always in, you know, Chinese, you know, Chinese dresses or Chinese or the
Chongo.
Thank you. I was trying to remember what the outfit she wore most of the time was called.
Chompo. It's one of the two terms. I can never remember the second one.
So what she first shows up because she came to kill female Ranma. Because
female Ranma beat her in a fight shortly after they ran into the cursed springs.
And because, you know, this is a wacky martial arts comedy, because Ranma defeated, to make this a little bit easier from now on, we're going to use the term that is
Ranma-chan,
it's used later on in this year. Yeah, Ranma-chan and Ranma-kun. Also, a lot of times Ranma-chan is called Ranko.
Or is it, which is her cover name?
That's her cover name. Very late in the manga. Anyways, Ranma-chan gets the kiss of death, which is basically a promise for shampoo. Is like, I'm going to find you. I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to track you down. Though I might have to follow you to the ends of the earth, and I will kill you.
Yes, and she comes to Japan and she fights male Ranma, and now male Ranma has defeated her. So she gave him the kiss of marriage. Because the laws of her village are you marry outsider female, or you kill outsider females that defeat you, and you marry male ones.
So,
however, she learns of his curse, and
so
the Chinese
Amazons
despondent.
Basically have kill, fuck, and marry, but we don't know what their fuck is.
We don't.
I don't want to know. As Takahashi has famously said, when someone asked, "Could Ranma-chan become pregnant?" She's like, I don't think about that, and neither should you. But anyhow, sorry for the diversion. But yes, that's essentially Shampoo is, again, Shampoo is Kodachi and Tatewate Kuno all wrapped up into one character. Oh, and yeah. She's also now, fallen into the Cursed Springs in between the...
It's after she loses to both of them. So after her introduction, she goes back to China, and then she falls
into the spring. Cologne knocks her into the spring, and then Cologne is being her grandmother. And
yes, who is a... It's the Takahashi old bean woman.
Takahashi bean woman with immense staff and knowledge of interesting martial arts techniques.
Some of them completely useless.
Some useless in very narrow bands. I like the chestnuts roasting on an open fire technique.
Yes.
I love the names that come up. The other thing that has to be said about the localization is they do a really good job of coming up with goofy names for goofy martial arts.
That just fit. That just fits the tone of the series.
They also do a really good job of finding appropriate Shakespearean quotes to replace Kuno's waka poetry.
Yeah.
Which are both immensely difficult to pull off well.
I'd say Shampoo probably actually of all of the suitor characters probably gets some of the most varied. Well, there's one other one that gets a lot of them. Because we talk about power. Shampoo is probably in terms of, like, if you had to come up with a tier listing, I'd say Shampoo in terms of power creep would be probably A tier, maybe S tier.
Shampoo is one of the ones that can give Ranma a real headache in a straight fight. She can easily beat Akane. The one time she fought Akane, she gave Akane a really nice shampoo, quite literally. It also cost her memory.
Yes. Specifically her memory of Ranma. Because it was an attempt to
it was literal brainwashing, okay?
Yes, it was literal brainwashing. She's got a lot of them. But when she fell into the springs, she fell into Ranma's worst nightmare. Yes. The Spring of Drowned Cat. Because Ranma is terrified of cats. Guess whose fault that is?
Ooh, Mr. Kata, would that be Genma's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Genma has this wonderful idea of, I'm going to train my son. I'm going to throw him into a pack of angry cats.
With fish sausage strapped to his body.
With fish sausages, because the cats haven't eaten in like several days.
Yes. You remember we were talking about the Fate Stay Night character threw his daughter in with the slugs?
Yeah, Fate Zero. There's the character of what's his name? I'm blanking on names again. Yeah. But so those of you who are familiar with the more modern series, the Fate series, the character of Sakura. Mm-hmm. Well, she was adopted. Surprise! Spoilers. She got adopted into the Mato. The Mato family. Her adoptive grandfather was going to increase her magical energy by throwing her into a pit full of creepy, disgusting magic leeches, essentially. Same idea with cats.
One is silly, the other is spooky, but I still think that we're getting to the point where we're pretty sure that the guy who did Fate and Kara no Kyokai grew up reading a lot of Ranma.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that probably anyone who got into the creative realm in Japan, at least within manga and anime and like that extended realm, probably saw Takahashi.
Yes, but I think he cleaves a little closer to it, especially because his genre stuff is so different.
Yeah,
for being in a different genre, he certainly borrows a lot of bits.
There's also a lot of stuff in some of his the Type Moon comedy stuff that could honestly be right out of a Takahashi show.
That would not shock me. But yeah, so basically, if Ranma sees a cat, Ranma loses it. He has an irrational.
When he sees many cats,
unless he sees too many cats, then he becomes cats.
And he can't get away. Yeah, he turns into a cat. So that's everything basically comes back around to Genma is terrible.
Everybody has at least two opinions on Ranma. There's also And then he's either has two opinions on Ranma or somehow comes between Ranma and Akane. Because then there's Ryoga, who...
Ryoga's the only, I think, is the only one that is... That is 100%, like, his problem with Ranma is 100%, like, Ranma's doing. And that's purely comes down to, so, like, we're again, talk about, if we're assuming Ranma is S tier in a power list. Ryoga is really a B plus tier character. And there's a couple reasons for that. So Ryoga's background, he's a martial artist. Him and Ranma went to the same middle school. And Ranma would basically beat him for the last bun, like the last good bun every day at lunch.
He didn't
take
his lunch money, but he took his lunch, more or less.
Yeah, well, he didn't take his lunch.
He took the last
lunch. He basically beat him to it, yes. So he got stuck, Ryoga got stuck with the crap buns, whatever that might be. Like things like Ranma would get like the last hot dog bun or the last red bean bun, you know, and then, you know, Ryoga would get stuck with like, you know, the less appealing ones, I guess you could say. And he held that against him. It took several years for him to find Ranma.
By the way, that particular bit might be Takahashi making fun of Kimigure Orange Road.
That's possible.
Kimigure Orange Road has the katsudon sandwiches.
I think that's probably very possible.
Now that I think about it, I hadn't thought directly about it, but Kimigure Orange Road is so much of a Takahashi.
No, maybe Ryoga's more of an A tier.
Yeah, he's kind of A tier. He's tough as heck, but you got to get his passion up. But the thing is, Ryoga challenged Ranma to a fight. Unfortunately,
it took several years for them to
beat
up. Because
Ryoga has no sense of direction whatsoever.
And we mean zero sense.
Ranma literally
the guy will go
3
missing.
Days in the vacant lot behind the school, and Ryoga never found him.
Yes, the school that he goes to every day. Ryoga couldn't figure out how to get there.
So Ryoga tends to wander into the story from God only knows where. South America sometimes, apparently. To make a long story short, too late, at least one of the times, he followed Ranma and his dad all the way to China. And
to a particular hot spring.
And ran
to a particular
into them
set
just
of
after
springs.
They fell into a particular hot spring. Now, if Ryoga gets dumped in cold water, he turns into a little black pot-bellied pig.
You probably have seen, I bet if any of you have ever seen an anime little piglet, like Black Piglet, that's Ryoga.
That's Pichon, because that's also a
Yeah, that's one of those characters that's just kind of expanded beyond, like, has kind of transcended its own show.
But that's Ryoga, who's in pig form is Akane's pet. You can imagine how much of an annoyance it is to have between Ryoga and Ranma that Ryoga gets to stay with Akane, that Ryoga is that close to Akane. Because no matter how annoyed with Akane Ranma is, that still just hurts.
We usually talk about this. I think we'll leave some characters for people to discover on their own, but I'd say there's probably three more characters that we really would want to talk about. And the first one would be Ukiyo.
Ah, Ukiyo, the Okonomiyaki girl with the spatula. Raised as a boy. Despite that, Ranma refers to her as his cute fiance, as Akane is not cute, uncute fiance, which kind of puts a damper on her and Akane's relationship. Other than that, though, she's kind of more like...
Well, there's that, and also the fact that, you know...
Much for the most part. She doesn't... In a group that traffics in poison pills and evil curses and kisses of death, she's fairly relaxed. Manga-wise, eventually Takahashi will pair her off with another character and Ryoga off with another character of her creation, who is a girl who owns a number of sumo pigs. By the way, if sumo pigs seem ridiculous, little factoid, there's a type of Japanese bullfighting that's essentially bull sumo. Put two bulls together head to head, see who can push harder. It's very popular in Niigata. Guess where Takahashi's from?
Gee, I wonder if she's from that particular part of Japan.
She is from that particular part of Japan. she expanded it into sumo pigs instead of fighting bulls. But in the anime, most of the time they just use Ukyo and Ryoga as couple B. Not because there's a lot of chemistry there, but because they're both the unlucky in love types.
It's a convenience.
It's a convenience. They're usually stuck somewhere. Whereas Moose is actually the one that's...
Moose is the interesting... I like talking about Moose because Moose is the only one that is trying to suit someone that's not Akane, or is not a suitor to Akane or Ranma.
That's true. He is the other branch of the shampoo love triangle. He is utterly devoted to shampoo. He's also blind as a bat and refuses to wear his glasses because they don't look cool. But other than that, yes, he is the hopeful suitor who... You'd say he's the nice guy, but he's used way too many underhanded tricks to be called a nice guy. But he's utterly devoted to shampoo. And she most of the time will not give him the time of day. Because, for one thing, she can probably kick his ass 8 ways to Wednesday.
Moose is one of those ones where it's like he can be... He's very skilled, but he's written to be, you know, the butt of jokes.
He's written to be he's very skilled, but power-wise, he's like just enough of a step under the top guys that he's... and unwilling to know his own limitations, that he's going to get his ass kicked a lot.
He's like that wrestler that's always in the main event but never gets the championship.
Yeah.
You know, constantly challenging but never gets it.
He's the true Worf because he's actually got a fairly large quantity of skills. The problem is that he's always overmatched because he's always, you know, he's always trying to punch above his weight. Because his weight, he's not in shampoo or Ranma class.
No.
Ranma is up there top tier. I mean, he could easily, he could probably trash Ukyo. He could certainly trash any of the regular human martial artists. But up there with Shampoo and Ranma, they're going to hand him his head every time. And he is constitutionally unable to admit that. So you notice we have sort of a love triangle and fighting triangle fractals.
Yeah.
Going on in this. We have both the Takahashi and love fractals of he loves her and she loves him and he loves someone else you just can't win. There's a famous AMV to Love Stinks that used Ranma. It was not very hard to use, I might add. But there's also a certain amount of Dragon Ball-ish power leveling, which kind of complicates the who loves who. And whatever. And the OVAs, they have to stretch things more because they want to pair people off as much as possible.
Yeah, Ranma's honestly probably... I mean, you could really just consider Ranma to be like Goku in that regard because it's like a case of... It's a case of, you know, kind of a goofy guy, you know, kind of carefree, you know, is really skilled. Every once in a while, he runs into somebody that kicks his ass. He then goes on some kind of ridiculous training and is able to overcome it.
Yes, but the difference is Goku just likes to have a good fight. Ranma, it's personal.
Yes.
Ranma can be treated like bad things can happen to Ranma. And he's like, but if then the, you know, the villain of the week will say, oh, you will never defeat the blah, blah, blah school of martial arts. Oh, it's like the Skating Pair of Death episode, which is like right at the beginning of the second season of the anime. And was actually done by the crew that did the first season, which is very good. And basically, they show up. They are utterly kicking butt, making a mess of things. Once they get out on the ice, Ranma, as in a lot of Takahashi characters, can't skate at all. He's like literally standing there on the ice with his knees shaking in female form because it's less embarrassing that way.
Yes.
And he said, you will never defeat the masters of skating martial arts. And Rama-chan is grabbing Akane from behind, around her waist, head, you know, just above her butt. It's like, martial arts skating. It's martial arts. I can win. And Akane looks back and was like, first you're going to have to learn how to skate.
Yeah.
But as far as Rama's concerned, it's a martial art. I can win. That's almost the first word out of his mouth every time.
And then we've got our last character that we're going to talk about today, which is the closest to a big bad in the entire series. And he's also one of the smallest characters.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to wonder what kind of person could possibly have warped Genma and Sun into such underhanded, lying, sneaky, cowardly bastards.
And the answer is Hosei. Now, Cherry is the originator of basically this archetype within Takahashi's work. He's the old pervert.
It's basically Master Roshi crossed with Cherry.
Yeah. It's a hell of a lot uglier.
Hell of a lot uglier. Master Roshi is not pretty, but Hoppasai is really ugly.
Yeah, and he's actually worse than Cherry, which is hilarious.
He's a pervert to end all perverts.
But the thing is Hoppasai is the character design that Takahashi keeps coming back to. Mioga the Flea in Inuyasha, and I believe there's a character in Rene that's also based on that character design. And then Mioga is, of course, back again in the newest Takahashi animated series, which is the one that is the sequel to Inuyasha. If we ever cover Inuyasha, we will talk about that series.
Inuyasha, the second generation.
Inuyasha, the next generation.
Why do we have to go to the second generation? Because we're a kids show. We can't show the making of you guys. We can just show your adventures.
Basically. But yeah, Hoppasai, if you thought Genma was bad.
Yeah. Hoppasai is sneaky, underhanded, and God, has he got a dirty mind. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's... It's like sneaking peeks, stealing women's underwear, doing this, doing that. He's an awful person. He's been at it for hundreds of years. He's a force of chaos.
He is also incredibly vengeful, incredibly sadistic.
Incredibly vengeful, incredibly sadistic. It's also fun when he and Cologne, Shampoo's grandmother, are on the same spot, because they apparently know each other from way back.
They do, because he was turned down by every single woman in the village.
I could believe that. That certainly fits the bill.
Also, you get this thing of whenever Cologne and Hoppasai are in the same room, that Cologne just looks at him, and you can just tell that Cologne would completely kick his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cologne is one of those characters that you, like, she has this aura about her that you just don't fuck with her.
Yes. Do not mess with Granny.
Yeah.
Granny will end you. If you ask her nicely, Granny might teach you a special secret martial art technique that will get you out of this episode. Do not mess with Granny. She will end you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that has to be said about Ranma as a series, especially as the anime, but the manga, it's true to a greater or lesser extent, is it's one of the true shonen series is that goes on forever and repeats itself a lot.
And we see a lot.
First season is magical. If you're only going to get one season, get the first season. If you're going to get two seasons, get the second season too, because that has the shampoo and shows up at the end of the first season. Gaining Pair of Death is the second season's opener, and I think Ukyo's in the third season.
DVD set one is 8 hours and 50 minutes. It's 3 discs. I'm trying to see what episodes it is.
It ends. It's the first season.
Is it just the first season? Okay, I wasn't sure.
It's the first season, because the thing was about Ranma is the studio that did the first season did not do any of the other seasons except for a few filler episodes in the second season. And there's a lot of fan stuff about, oh, they didn't like the adaption. It's like, no, the general fact seems to be is they wanted too much money. Because the quality is way up there. This is really good TV animation.
Now, I will say this about the Ranma TV series, and that is that, since now we're kind of moving into how can I see this? One of my, and this has always been kind of my sort of, I wouldn't say it's a criticism, but it's just sort of something to note. Of all of the Takahashi stuff, I think there's a great one out there where it's the series It's a Rumic World, right? Came out. If you look at the characters on the cover, it's got like characters from Inuyasha, for Ranma, for Urusei Yatsura. The Ranma characters in terms of animation a lot of times look like an evolutionary dead end in Takahashi's art style. Like if you look at her manga art, you can see a clear line of evolution from Urusei Yatsura all the way through to her most recent works. But the Ranma TV art style, like the eyes are like oversized a lot of the time. At least in some of the more higher quality stills.
It was sort of a Chani style, and also you have to remember the difference between TV and OVA for Ranma. The Ranma OVAs ran over into a later era in animation.
Yeah, there's just overall, it's the style's inconsistent. The problem
with OVAs is that everybody got three cup sizes bigger.
But just overall, it's more inconsistent than, like Urusei Yatsura, from beginning to end, you know, between the manga and the TV, like, the first episode of the TV, character designs are consistent with, like, the last movie. And they're consistent with the manga. But, like, the animation's all over the place. The
manga, Urusei Yatsura, is very rough. I will say that.
But there's still a consistency to how the characters look.
True.
Like you can tell the art got better, but you can still recognize, like, you know, sometimes with the Ranma TV series, it looks like a completely different artist designed the character.
Yes.
Well, if that makes sense.
Ranma went on for an extremely long time.
Because if I'm looking here,
for an extremely long time.
Yeah. The manga ran from 87 to 96. The TV series, the first one, like you said, it was the first 18 episodes was from April of 89 to September of 89. And that was done by Studio Deen. Then there was a second one, which was also done by Studio Deen. That one ran 143 episodes. But that one had a different completely different directors.
Yeah, they moved it. They put a whole new different team on it. I think the other team was blowing deadlines was the big thing, because
considering they only got 18 episodes out of it, that wouldn't surprise me.
Right. They're beautiful episodes. And they also did like I said, they did the martial arts skating pair, which is two or four more episodes from the next season that just got finished late. But the fact that they got finished late probably indicates, you know, why they got replaced.
I mean, to give you an idea, like if you include OVAs, the last Ranma OVA came out in 2008.
Yes, and to give you another idea, the TV series started, the TV series was ongoing, the manga series was ongoing and the hottest thing going when Anime Con 1 started up. It was 4 years old. There had been about two, three seasons of the anime. So it was the hot new thing when Anime Con 1 hit up in San Jose. The series ended about the same time that the series overlapped to a greater or lesser extent Sailor Moon and wound up just about the same time Ava was starting up. That should give you some idea of how, you know, things started, you know, started right about at Fist of the North Star age and ended at Ava. Which for Takahashi, even Takahashi does long runners. That's a very long runner. There's a lot of Ranma. And like a lot of these series we're talking about, like City Hunter and some of the other 80s series, you don't need to watch. There's not enough continuity to really need to see everything. Maison is the one exception in the Takahashi list of you pretty much need to see, if not all of it, probably 80% of it. Because there is padding, but there's a lot of continuity, and different seasons are actually played out differently.
Yeah.
But Ranma is very formulaic. It's just, which characters are we going to throw into the mix this time? And if you're really lucky, you get a Nabiki episode. But they are very rare.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is a series that a lot of people give a lot of credit to, too. I mean, the creator of Scott Pilgrim, Brian Lee O'Malley, said that Ranma One Half was a big influence for his series. Matt Bozen, creator of the Shantae series, said this was a great. In fact, Shantae Half Genie Hero, which is the fourth game in the series, that's a direct reference to Ranma in the title.
Yeah, I mean, Ranma One Half, it was the big thing as anime fandom was coming out. So it's contemporary with modern anime fandom. When I say modern anime fandom, I mean with actual cons and actual English translations.
I mean, as late as 2019, even just within the Takahashi, like, mm-hmm. So they had a poll which included Takahashi's characters and series.
Mm-hmm.
Ranma One Half was considered her second best animated work. And that's including like all of her short works and stuff. And then Shampoo and Ranma were voted fourth and fifth respectively in her characters category.
Yep, that sounds about right. Again, they're really fun. There's a lot of really fun bits. Ranma just is not known for its continuity or for its ending.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you can see that Ranma, a lot of the DNA of Ranma is visible in a lot of modern, more modern comedy action. Like, yes, there were comedy action before then,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of
harem shows, too. Because,
yeah.
Although, as we say, Takahashi doesn't really do harems, but she does harem adjacent.
There's some people say that Takahashi kind of created the reverse harem series. Which is kind of, I think, is kind of a dumb description, because the idea of reverse harem is that, like, it's not the usual harem setup where it's like one person of one gender and then like you're all getting a bunch of suitors. It's like it's kind of a romance situation. So I think that's just about wraps up our discussion on Ranma One Half. One last thing to just talk about, what would you say is probably the best way if someone wants to experience Ranma? Because the way I experienced Ranma personally is I got the first 11 volumes of the manga when I was in high school. And that's how I was introduced to Ranma. It wasn't until I got to college that I started being able to watch the anime, because you gave me a box of tapes. Yeah. Everything goes back to that box of tapes.
That infamous box of tapes. anime or manga start at the beginning, because the strongest stories are generally near the beginning.
And then just go till you run out of steam?
and when it starts to repeat too much, back off. If you want to do a one-off to show somebody basically, you know, how everybody goes, there's a couple of different OVAs and movies.
What would you say is probably the best movie out of the series?
Probably the one with the Gods of Luck. I kind of like that one. That's the one where, like, everybody's being paired off and everybody's having to fight, you know, everybody's being paired off against one or another of the gods of luck, the old folk gods of luck. And that's the one where Ranma has to beat the guy who's using chopsticks to fight. Big Trouble in Necron China.
Oh, so the first one.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
That is the first one.
I just couldn't remember the title of it. Because I'm like, which one was that?
Because
I just kind of know it was movie 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. I think that one's probably the best, just because it does have, you know, it's a pretty straightforward and simple one, and it does a lot of Pair of the Spares bits. But it does a good job of introducing you to the Nekomi Wrecking Crew. This is this character. This is their shtick. This is this character. This is their shtick. This is Kuno. He's an idiot, but he doesn't know. When he's completely overmatched.
Yeah.
This is Moose. He's also an idiot. He's somewhat tougher than Kuno. He also doesn't know when he's completely overmatched.
So, yeah. I mean, there's multiple different ways that you can do that. So, I mean, to be honest, just find the one that works best for you.
Yeah. Like I said, I would get the first, I would start with the TV series because I like to build a little simpler. But Necron China is probably the funnest of the most fun of the movies. Is that the one that has Bring Back the Brides, or is that a different one? I think it is Necron China is also Bring Back the Brides is the original title.
Bring Back the Brides is the second movie.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Maybe it's the second movie that I'm thinking of, because that was the one where, you know, they basically kidnap most of the women. Most of the men have to go in and fight. Most of the men get their asses kicked. It's an okay... It doesn't... Again, the biggest problem that the movies have is by the time the movies are on, Akane is so underpowered.
It's like we were saying before we were recording. It's the Videl problem.
Yeah, it's Videl. It's... Akane and Videl could picture Akane and Videl sitting in a bar.
You can also consider kind of like Krillin too.
Yeah.
Or Yamcha. Or basically any of the...
They could put all three of them in a bar telling stories about being depowered. And Krillin's like, I got killed 6 times. Well, I have a thing for having characters from different continuities meet in places. My personal favorite thing is I want Triella, Asuka, and Kyoko from Madoka Magica all meet in the tea room of the afterworld and basically have a discussion that goes somewhere along the lines of the night before the big fight in Jaws. I don't know what song they'll sing, but they will tell stories. They will point out scars. They may drink, because Triella would probably bring booze, but then she sees Kyoko touch food, she probably would dump the booze in a big hurry.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you lost an eye? I got cut into ribbons. They would tell stories, and essentially they're also the same character 3 different times, which is the joke. But in Ranma, it's the... Ranma and Dragon Ball both have the problem of major characters become fairly depowered and one note as the series goes on.
Yeah, once you bring in alien, basically gods, you know, yeah, human martial artists aren't so special anymore.
Yeah, it's the Man of Steel, Woman of Tissue issue. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you're getting pushed to the side like that. And this is the girl that kicked the ass of the entire male population of her school in the second episode.
Yeah.
Granted, she broke a sweat, but she kicked the asses of every single sports club in her entire school. That's her introduction. By the 3rd season, she's a damsel in distress because the power creep has gotten so far ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one problem that happens when you try to do love comedies and tournament arcs.
Because someone's got to be a challenge for somebody.
Someone's got to be a challenge. Somebody's going to end up being the jobber,
basically.
And then it becomes hard to balance out the romantic things and the other things. Because it's like somebody's going to be the one in distress, or that dress, or that leotard, or whatever they have to wear. And it kind of falls out. Whereas with Inuyasha, it works better because there's a clear power difference in their dynamic anyway.
Yeah.
In the beginning. So it doesn't ever become such a big deal that we know Inuyasha is way more powerful than Kagome.
Yeah, but she's given a trump card over him. So, but we can talk about that when we get to, if we ever get to Inuyasha, because
yeah,
well, it's old enough, I'd say.
Similarities, but you know, Takahashi kind of, I think, took note of the big problem between Ranma and Akane is that, you know, Akane gets faded out fairly early.
Yeah,
she made sure to make sure that Shampoo did not take over the series the way Lum did. Because Lum really did take over Uratsuyatsura.
Well, I do believe that is about all the time we have this week for Ranma 1/2. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Until next time, I've been Rick.
Been Drew.
And just remember, someone had to draw that.